ministry of Nelson Ihiagu. Be stirred as you listen.
Thank you, Jesus. Turn your Bible. Let's get into the word very quickly. And then Matthew 28 from verse 16. Matthew 28. Those online, it's good to see you guys. Thank you for joining us through camp meeting, and thank you for joining us today. Matthew 16, Doc, please. I think I may need you, sir. Matthew 16. Matthew 26. 28. Ah, Jesus. Verse 16. Come on, are you with me, guys? I want to share a short charge, and then I'll do a doctrinal teaching, and we'll be out of here. Praise the Lord. It says, then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. Give me in KJV, please. Give me in KJV, please. Okay. Why verse 18 now? And Jesus came. Please, I want you to pay rapt attention to what I'm about to share this afternoon. It says, then Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, say all power. Come on, TC, say all power. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven, in earth. Let me flow with me now. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20, he said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Go back to verse 19. Now, if you read verse 18, you hear Jesus say, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All right. So verse 18 is actually corroborating what Jesus said about himself in the book of Philippians, right? That he had been given a name above every other name. Come on, TC, are you with me? It corroborates that he had been given a name above every other name. And at that name, every knee bows. So I've taught us many times that the word name is onoma, which is not exactly appellation, like the way you say Adeshola or Modoluamu or Gigi or David. It's not the name. It's when it says in the name, you know, onoma, it means in the authority. Come on, are you with me? He said, in the authority. So, let me give an instance. Whether I pray and I say in Jesus' name or not, I have prayed in the name of Jesus. So if I say, Father, please, I need your help. Please help me. Thank you, Lord. I prayed in Jesus' name. Because my access to the Father is on the authority of the one who gave me access to him. The Bible says we have access to God. Come on, TC, are you here? We have access to God by Christ Jesus. The same way, you know, we've been looking at typifications in scriptures. The same way the veil, KJV said it's ripped in twain or it tore in twain from top to bottom. It's the same way Jesus' flesh and Jesus' body, it's like the veil that was broken so that we may have access to the Father. Are you with me? His body was broken so that we may have what? Access to the Father. So, in that same way, you know, Jesus now said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. You know, it has now been given to me. Then, if you look at when Jesus sent out the disciples, he said something very important. He said, as my Father sent me, so send I you. So on the same level of authority that the Father sent Jesus is on that level of authority that Jesus bequeathed to the apostles and then sent them. Is the same, now that's the 70 that he said, is the same thing that we see in Matthew 28:19, which is when he said, verse 18, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Then he now said, as my Father sent, verse 19 now says, go ye therefore. So it is on the premise of the authority that he has, on the premise of the fact that he has all authority in heaven, on earth, and under the, come on, are you with me? It is on the premise of the fact that he has all authority in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, that he then says, go ye therefore. Are you with me? So when the believer goes, the believer can do the works of Jesus because he is going on the very authority that backed up the ministry of the God-man. He's going on the very authority that backed up the ministry of the God-man. So on that same premise, Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. He now said, baptizing them. The people that Jesus was speaking to, these were people who were Jews. They were Jews. They were Galilean. And that's why when they spoke in tongues, they said, are these not all native Galileans? So he said, go ye therefore. When you think about this, what plays in my mind, you know, I'm just going to reference a couple of things that we have been looking at through our teaching series that we just concluded. What plays out in my mind is how the Lord told Abraham that in him shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. In his seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And then Paul tells us that it is not all of them that are in Israel that are of Israel. Meaning, it's not everybody that belongs to Israel that is going to be recorded as people of God. Are you with me? It's not everybody that is in Israel that is going to be recorded as people of God. It is only those who have believed in the Messiah that we're going to be reckoned as Israel. So we find out that the children of Abraham, you know, I'm just going through what we had looked through. The children of Abraham were not people of natural descent. Children of Abraham are children of Abraham because they had the same kind of justifying faith that Abraham had. You know, when we looked at gospel truth, Abraham, we covered that. So they had the same kind of justifying faith that Abraham had. So if you had, and that's why Jesus said, if you were going to be children of Abraham, you would have done the work of Abraham. What exactly did Abraham do? Abraham believed God. And it was logizomaid to him. It was credited to his account for righteousness. Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So Abraham's children... In fact, if you see that fulfilled in the Old Testament, one thing you get to find out is when they were talking of the children of Abraham and they were talking of the promise, the people who carried the promise, Ishmael was not there. It was only Isaac. So the children of Abraham are children counted according to the promise. Are you with me? Children counted according to the promise. He has on the authority of the fact that he said, all authority in heaven and in earth has been given to me. He now says, on that basis, go therefore. Have you ever spoken to somebody and then the person tells you, do you know who I am? I am. Let me see. I'm the Prime Minister of the UK and I'm giving you, when someone asks for reference, I'm giving you a personally signed reference. There is a way you will walk in and tender that letter. Come on, are you with me? You know, when you want to apply for some visas, you know, some schools sometimes have to write reference letters or confirmation letters or things like that to show that you're truly. So that gives some sort of backing and some sort of credence to your application. So your application has more weight than someone's who doesn't. Please don't press your phone except you're taking notes. Your application doesn't have Your appreciation has more credence than someone else's who doesn't. Oh, it is on that premise that Jesus said, go ye therefore. Listen, when Jesus tells us, go ye therefore, the same divine ability that backed up his ministry backs us up when we go in his name. That's the entire point. The same divine ability that backs up his ministry backs us up when we go in his name. Because it is his cause, and it is his will, it will be his bill to foot. Come on, TC, are you with me? Because it is his cause and it is his will, it will be his bill to foot. And the God we serve is one that is faithful. Is one that does not lie. He is one that if he says he will walk this through your life, he will walk it through your life. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Acts 10:38, with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. For God was with him. And then when I think about the things, the works of Jesus, because we understand that in Jesus, I know this is not normally how we teach on a Sunday morning, but today is a different kind of service. You agree with me, right? So, when I think about this and I think of what Isaiah said, that he will prolong his life with our days. And now it now means that the works of Jesus will continue, or they will not cease when he ascends and goes to be with the Father. They will continue in our days. Someone says, they put it this way. Theologically, you might argue, but the idea is sound when they say the Holy Ghost is Jesus unlimited. In as a man, right, because he came to die. As a man, the Bible says he emptied himself. You know what theologians call kenosis. He emptied himself. He laid aside divinity. And in him laying aside that divinity, you know, we then see he laid aside some godly privileges. He was still God, but he laid aside some godly privileges. What are some of those privileges? One thing we find out is Jesus slept. Jesus ate. Jesus died. God took up, you know, even in the gospel is important. Someone puts it this way. He said, man cannot save himself. God cannot die. So God became a man to die for man. So when I think of all Jesus has done and I look at our lives and I'm seeing him say he will continue his days in our lives, it is a brag. It is a fact. It is a call. Come on, are you with me? It is a call. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 11. Let's read it in NLT. Verse 11, KJV says, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But look at what he said. He said, because we understand our fearful responsibility to our Lord. Say, our Lord. To the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. God knows we are sincere, and I hope you know this too, right? Go to verse 14. It says, either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. The next verse. Look at this. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer do what? Live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. Come on, I want you to read this like a mass choir. One, two, go. Stop. Read this like a mass choir. One, two, go. KJV says, and that he died for all, that they which live will not henceforth live unto themselves, but live for him who died and rose again. The fact that he died for me means I will live for him. The fact that he died for me means I will live. The fact that he laid, the creator became his creation. Come on. The creator took the form of creation and paid the price that man could not pay. The response to the sacrifice of Jesus is the consecration of the believer. The response to the sacrifice of Christ is the consecration of the believer. He said, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but live for him who did what? Who, come on, please pay attention to me. Don't live for him who did what? Who died and rose again. He died for our sin and rose for our justification. If it is true that he died for our sin and rose for our justification, because, you know, the Bible tells us that he has bought us with his blood. Come on, are you with me? He bought us with his blood. He paid the price for you and I. And on that premise, we glorify God in our mortal bodies. Because he bought us with a price, we glorify God in our mortal bodies. The one who paid for us owns us. Are you with me? The one who paid for us owns us. Every time I read a little bit about church history and I think about the persecutions of the Christian faith and all those things, I think about how Christians in early times were called atheists. They were called atheists. They were called atheists because they did not believe in the pantheon of gods that the Greeks did believe in. Rather, they believed in one God, so they were called atheists. Because they regarded each other as brother and sister, people said they were engaging in incest. Because they took the ate body and blood and communion, people said that they were practicing cannibalism. These things were the premise upon which they persecuted many of them. So many of them, listen, I know. Let me say this. It is strange that the reason why we come to church has everything to do with our self-sustenance and really little to do with the Lord. Why? Because the early church, the things that we want to get by God, they were willing to let go of for the Lord. In the book of Hebrews, because people were coming to the Christian faith, their properties were being seized. They were losing things because they lived for the Lord. Because they became Christians, they were losing things. So persecution for being a Christian was beyond dragging you on social media. Are you listening to me? It was beyond that. It was beyond dragging. You know, I watched a video. It said the difference between a first century Christian and a 21st century Christian. And then, you know, the first century Christian was just talking. And the first century Christian was challenging the 21st century Christian. Said, so you mean that you have all the words of our Lord and all the letters of the apostles in one document? You must have read it time and time again. You must have read it. And the person said, well, you know, those of you who did ADC, I played the video for you. He said, well, you know, when I have the time, sometime maybe once a week, I read maybe two chapters or so. And it hits me that we have privileges that no Christian in history before us had. None. Men were ready to lay down their lives, put their neck on the line, go after. There is no apostle of Jesus Christ, including Paul. The only one that died a natural death, and which was by a miracle, was John the Beloved. All of them died gruesome, horrible deaths. Horrible deaths. John was thrown into a vat of boiling oil. But then he escaped by a miracle. Paul was beheaded. Peter was crucified on an upside down cross. Why? Because he said he was not worthy to live, to die the way Jesus died. Thomas was run through by a spear. Timothy was beaten, and because he was persecuted, he was talking to those that worshipped idols. He was beaten and he died of internal bleeding 2 days after. We have people who bled. We have people who bled for the faith that we have. Someone said something. He said that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. So, Christianity that is all about me, what God can give to me, how my life can be better, how God can, more wigs, more shoes, more cars, more clothes, more. So the Christianity is becoming more and more about us, and we are saying, where is the power? What do you mean? Someone was sharing his story with me. He said, listen, and I'm not saying God does not bless. No, he does. I'm not saying God does not prosper. I'm not saying God does not protect. I'm not saying all those things. I'm saying that the people who were the ones who were the first and the OGs to hold on to this faith, these guys were willing to lay down their lives for these things that we believe. They were willing to die. Many of them were told to recant for the Christian faith, and they said, we would rather die than recant. We would rather die than recant. What or how far has the conviction of your Christian faith eaten into your soul? Listen, if Jesus is risen from the dead, then he is Lord. His Lord. We accept what he has done. You know, I've done a little bit of apologetics historically and here and there as to how we can prove that Jesus, it's a historical fact that the man called Jesus rose from the dead. It is fact. It is a historical fact that the man called Jesus rose from the dead. And the one who died and rose again for me can tell me how I get to live my life. The one who ransomed me from sin, ransomed me from death, can tell me how I can live my life. Most times we, like I said, it's about us getting things. But what is the Lord's cause? I will expand more on this on our crossover service. But listen. Thank you, Shola. I will expand more on this on our crossover service. But listen. Rather than doing something and hope the Lord blesses it, why don't you do and partner with something God is already blessing? Because many times we think God is just a cosmic force that we can use how we like. He is Lord. His Lord was not elected into power, cannot be dethroned from power. So if he says this, and I like to put it this way, every knee will bow willingly or forcefully, but eventually every knee will bow. The one, like I said, who died for me can dictate how I get to live my life. Society will not change that. Manika Vanua. Come on, are you here? Society will not change that. And I'll keep on saying these things. We love people of other ideologies and whatnot, but we'll be vocal about what the word says and how we will live our lives. Common example. If you're not under the lordship of Jesus, and listen to this. Like I like to say, society consistently wants to impregnate us with ideas. Your mind must be intentionally cultivated. Intentionally. It must be intentionally cultivated, or whether you like it or not, surrounding influence will permeate your heart. Have you sang a song from the beginning to the end you never actively listened to? Come on, talk to me now. Have you? So, the easiest one that I'll just put up is, it's not my body, my choice. It's my body, God's temple. Are you listening to me? It's my body, God's temple. What God says I should do with my... Because I will glorify him in my mortal body. I will glorify him in my mortal body. So, I'm talking of consecration. Leaning to the Lord's cause. My plans can change if the Lord speaks. My plans are the variable. The voice of God is the plan. The voice of God is the constant. My plans are the variable. If the Lord says, stop, I'm never too far gone to turn back. And I say this without, I'm not trying to sell myself. God knows. As strong as I know that I'm called, is as strong as it is that if the Lord says, shut down the equipping center today, we'll just do Thanksgiving service next week. And that will be our last Sunday service. That will be our last service. Because at the end of the day, it's not about a man. It's not about a man. Do you know what the Bible says? I was reading 1 Corinthians the other day, and it really hit me. Paul spoke, and he said, let's not judge anything before it's time. Don't judge anything before it's time. So the context of that basically was eternal reward. So Paul was like, don't judge anything before it's time. It means that we can't look at anybody and say, you are doing a great job. It is only the master that knows your scorecard. Because you will judge every man of what sort his work is. Whether gold, stubble, hay, whatever it is, it will be judged. Jesus told them in Matthew 28, he said, as my Father sent me, in Matthew 28, he said, go ye therefore. Let me ask you a question. What does that go mean to you? Everybody says their most, the last words of anybody are usually the most important words. The last words are usually the most important ones. Like I said, it's not about anybody. Like I was saying in the camp meeting yesterday, it's not about a big church. It's not about any, to what end is it if we are 1,000 and the word is not properly taught? To what end is it if no matter how much we are, people are not truly being saved. People are not being trained. People are not being sent. Then why are we doing what we are doing? I don't like to fool myself. If it's not true, it's not true. If it's not working, it's not working. Jesus said, go. Go ye therefore. He said, go ye therefore. And when I thought about it and he said, go, it means that Jesus was speaking to Galileans. He was speaking to men. He was speaking to fishermen. It means that everything, please pay attention to me. It means that everything that Jesus had said about them, their minds needed to be open to more possibilities. And just like I said at our prayer vigil, what that basically means is they needed to dream with God. Come on, TC, are you here? They needed to dream with God. Shola, please help me open it. They needed to dream with God. Thank you. Excuse me. I appreciate Shola, everybody. For the first time, I appreciate Shola. They needed to dream with God. So Jesus was speaking to Galileans and he was telling them to go to all nations. He was telling them to go to all nations. I find it amazing that a faith that started in Israel has touched the whole world the way it has. A faith that started in Israel has shifted the whole world the way it has. I read some church history and I'm like, God, Lord, you have moved. You have touched men. It started in Israel, it reached us in Africa. Come on, are you with me? That shows that the the 120, the 500 people, because 1 Corinthians 15 says that Jesus was seen of 500 people when he was ascending. So you can make a fair inference that he was teaching those about 500 people for about 40 days. So when the 500 people that heard him say, go into all nations, they did a good job. They did a good job. They did a good job. So I'm going to ask a question. What are you going to contribute to the cause of the gospel in your day? If the gospel was taken by the people that Jesus spoke to, the way you are taking the gospel, what will be the lot of Christianity in 40 years? What will be the lot of Christianity in 100 years? And that's why Jude would tell us, contend for the faith. You see, yesterday's afternoon session, when, you know, we're looking at scriptures in context, it's not semantics. It's not what we like to do because we're trying to prove superior or knowledge or anything. No, it's not about that. It's because this is the teaching of the one who died and rose again. And because he died and rose again, we must hold fast to these true words. Paul told Timothy, he said the same thing, 2 Timothy 2:2. He said the same things you have heard me teach in front of many faithful witnesses. In front of many witnesses, commit to faithful men who will teach others also. Why faithful men? Because the message will still be intact. Like I said, Christianity is a historic faith. It's a historic faith. You don't invent, you discover. You discover the teaching of God's word that already is, and the way it was handed over to you, you hand it over like that faultlessly. The way it was handed over. Come on, are you with me? The way it was handed, and that's why we contend for the faith. That's why we'll go on Bible study. We will teach God's word. Let me show you something. 1 Corinthians. You 2 Corinthians 10:4. Maybe we'll start from verse 4 is my crux, but maybe we'll start from verse 2 to get the context. Let's start from verse 2, sir. He said, but I beseech, let's go to verse 3. Look at this. Are you with me? Come on, are you with me? TC, are you with me? Thank you. He said, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not what? War after the flesh. Next verse. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of what? What punctuation is that after strongholds? It means that the thing he's about to say next is about to shed more light on what he said prior, right? Uh-huh. Next verse. So this is the warfare. Come on, are you with me? This is the warfare. He said, casting down imaginations. Where are imaginations? Talk to me, TC. Where are imaginations? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. Where are thoughts? To the obedience of Christ. Look at this. So when he said in verse 4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What he calls strongholds that are to be pulled down are these imaginations. Imaginations, high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. So if the knowledge of God is going to stay on someone, where would the knowledge of God be? In the mind. So these imaginations are similar to the same things that will exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, and they are the things that will wage war. They are the thoughts that will wage war against obedience to Christ. Come on, do you understand what I'm saying? So when he said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to the what? Pulling down of strongholds. These are the things that should be pulled down. Imaginations, high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, and in bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That warfare is being waged. So it means that this is a battle primarily. Where are all these things? In the mind. And this is a battle primarily where? In the mind. What did Eve, or what was, like I said yesterday, Eve, after the serpent had spoken to her, she saw that the tree was good for food. She had been passing it since, but there was a way that the devil had taught her some fresh things. He said, I've never seen it like this before. She was beguiled. That's what Paul calls it. She was beguiled, enticing words. And then that's exactly what happened. But how did Paul attack that? He said, you cast it down. You cast down imagination. Then the next verse now says, the next verse says, having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your own obedience is complete. When you have the knowledge of God, you are grounded in the knowledge of God, then you can now judge every heart and every mindset and every thought that rises, every imagination, everything, every knowledge that is not of God, you can bring it down. So the primary warfare spoken about in that verse is a warfare of teachings, a warfare of information, a warfare of doctrine. Come on, TC, are you here? That is the primary warfare we are engaging. That is the primary warfare we are engaging. I'm just remembering that video we played here. About this American guy, he went to the Chinese underground church, and then as he went, they asked him. They said, "Pray that we will be like you." And he thought about it. He said, "You guys, you guys sit down on the floor. You memorize chapters of verses of the Bible because you can't walk around with it. You memorize chapters of the verses of the Bible. You have to do all these things." And then you have to travel for many hours for services. He said, but where I come from, if the service is longer than 1 hour, it's too long. People, the Bibles in their houses are dusty. They don't read. He said, I won't pray that we'll be like you. So the entire point is lost. Why do we come to church? Why are we doing all these things? To what end? It is a waste of time if we come to church and you are checking Instagram, WhatsApp, throughout just to go home. So you mark attendance. Stay home. Stay home. Like I said, I don't like to fool myself. If my heart is not in this thing, let's not do it. But if Jesus is Lord, let him be Lord indeed. If he is Lord, I'm not just going to see his, I'm not just going to, because of him, see all things. By him, I'm going to judge all other things. By him, I'm going to see other things. So leave the Bible aside first. I can't do that. It is by him I see. This one you are praying, what exactly are you asking God for? When I pray, God gives me things, but my prayer life is not primarily hinged on things. I'm fellowshipping with the one who loves me. I'm fellowshipping with the one who loves me. So when I spend protracted time praying, you think it's because what exactly are you asking God for? There is more in prayer than the things anybody can give me. What I get in prayer, the ultimate thing I can get in prayer, no millionaire can give. All there is to the unbeliever, a millionaire can usually solve. But usually there's a longing in the heart. The Bible says he has put eternity in our heart. Only Jesus is the greatest answer to the questions of all of mankind. Then he sent us. He said, go, because this is good news. Because this is the word he has put on our tongue. Because this is the message. You know, we have... Can I share your story, your experience from yesterday? Shall I share the story of how he and Okbe were coming from Leicester on Friday? And then he saw someone, and the person said, he said, where are you going? He said, church. Because Shola took a leave. He said, where are you going? He said, church. He said, "And you're going to Birmingham?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Why?" From Leicester to Birmingham. "Why? Are you crazy or are you stupid?" Which one did he say? He insulted everything. He said, "So there's no why." So listen, the same person can travel for Burna Boy's concert. The same person can travel for work. The person can travel to fornicate. Yes. But any other person that wants to travel for what is of value to them is a fool. If that is foolish, allow me to be foolish. I will gladly be foolish. This God defined my life. Allow me be, like David said, I will yet be more undignified. Allow me. Because we did 3 days camp meeting. We are still going to Wales for retreat. And it's not like people don't have their careers and things going for them. We have people God has blessed here. Amen?
Amen.
Uh-huh. So it's not like we are just freeloaders that don't have what to do with our time. You know, I was just thinking about it. Someone would say, I remember I was with a couple of friends, and then we had a camp meeting that started on Thursday. So Thursday through Sunday. And the person was like, "So you won't go to work Thursday, Sunday, or something like that?" He said, "Yes." And I said, "Don't you guys have jobs? So Thursday and Friday that I took leave, the company will crash. How much are people paying me?" I remember someone came to church from Leicester, you know. In fact, we have people that come from surrounding cities. And I'm like, can't you just pick one church that is just around you? This is not beans. This is eternal life. Yeah. So you don't pick the church that is closest to your house. You pick the one that is closest to the Bible. Yeah. And maybe if I go a step, if the Lord... this is not a thing of sentiment. It's not, "This is the church I grew up in." Are you growing? Are you growing? Suppose I have been here 20 years. So, are you growing? Are you growing? Are you being challenged? Are you being stirred for more in your walk with God? Are there avenues for you to serve and do ministry? And I wrap up with this. Jesus called these Galileans and he told them, he said, "Guys, go into all the world." It means that their mind needed to expand. They needed to think more. If Jesus is sending us to the nations, we will now have to start thinking of how can we translate sermons to other languages? How can we blend into the cultures of other people and reach more people? How can we do more for the gospel? How can we have others be blessed for his name's sake? Because for to me, to live is Christ and to die gain. For to me, to live is Christ. Philippians 1. And to die gain. If I have to lay down my life for the gospel, it's not a loss. It's not a loss. It's not a loss. In that proper context, I will now be part of the cloud of witnesses. In the context of, I will now be part of the examples that can be used to stir others onto good works. That's what I can be. So if I die for this God, he died for me first. It's okay. I will spend and be spent for the kingdom. I've said this many times. The Lord sent me to the UK. I was fine in Nigeria. I had absolutely no plan. My wife had asked me many times. She said, she had brought it up before. You know, traveling. I said, "The Lord wants me here. I'm never leaving here. I'm never living here." Did you plan to leave me? I don't know. Anyways. But I'm married now. That's long story short. Anyways. I said, "I'm never living here. The Lord wants me here." When the Lord began to speak to me in 2020, I'm like, "Don't whine me." But I realized that what the Lord wanted to do was, the Lord was breaking my walls down. He didn't want me to escape. He wanted me to be sent. So he didn't want me to just go as someone who is just trying to escape a bad economy. Thank you, Lord. But he was not doing. See, if I was gonna be in Nigeria, I'll be way more comfortable than I am right now. Wait, you've seen my meetings, right? Uh-huh. Way more. Everybody, I said, the Lord is sending me to the UK. They looked at me like, are you okay? Are you okay? I came to this country not knowing anybody, but I came with the word of God. Lord, you said I should come. I will come. I remember a man of God asked me. He said, when we just started small meetings here, he said, how come I've never heard about you? I said, because I just came in October. He asked me in December last year. I said, because I just came in October. But aside from everything that we see, God is multiplying us, God is growing us, beyond all those things, even if we're just 24 here, even if we're just 12, even if we're just 8, I'm glad God's... I'm just happy. The greatest delight of God's will is not exactly that it worked out, is that his will is done. I remember our second Sunday, David was usher. David said, are people not coming? But we had a hot service. It doesn't matter how many we are. God sent us, we will do what God has said. So I'm throwing something to you. What will your life contribute to the cause of the King in your day? Are you going to dream with God? Is there going to be more on your heart? Are you going to dream with God? Is there... I'm going to even put it this way. Can God trust you? Can God trust you? Lord, here I am. Send me. Here I am. Send me. All these things is not acting. When I lift my hands and pray, I lift my hands and I cry. When I lay on the floor in worship, it's not acting. It's because you are truly my first love. You are truly my delight. I'm not a professional Christian on the stage. As a husband, I'm also a Christian. It's not fake. If you want to know if I'm fake, look at my wife's face when I'm preaching. I assure you, if I say something, if I lie, my wife's face will betray me. I assure you. My wife cannot play along. So that's also why if I preach a horrible message, I will not talk to her too. Because she will tell me, you did not try. You did not. That sermon was not great. You were just shouting. That's how she will say it. You need to repent and submit better. I'm joking. Amen. Just kidding. JK. Just kidding. So Jesus sent those people. And as he sent them, he sent them into all the world. And then we see the word of God systematically, progressively grow. We will TEC, we will grow. We will plant other expressions because the Lord has said it. But beyond all the other expressions, beyond the number of people that God is going to bring through our doors, is the lives that will be changed. There's absolutely no point of having the numbers if you are not going to turn them to an army. There's no point. When I came here, I began to think. I said, we cannot reach only Africans. We must reach more people. But the more I think about it, the more I realize that God does not see color. He sees souls. He sees souls. So, yes, we will reach other races. Glory to God. But I'm not going to pick and choose and say, let's leave the Africans. Let's go for... The Africans who have souls. They have souls. I'm looking across the room and I'm seeing some people who came in with their walk with God battered. Some with no walk with God. And in a few months, look at what God has done. Am I going to despise that because their skin color is different? Again, like I used to say, it was a financial stretch for us to do camp meeting. It's a financial stretch for us to consistently buy the things we need to buy and all. But that's what the money is for. It's for the work. Like I've said many times, the 2 days of camp meeting cost us £880 with a discount. The other venue we use for just now, it's not like they gave us backdrop and sound. Just space. Lock it and open it. Turn on and turn off our heater. Space. That's all. But I thought about it. It costs a lot because we had to now move our equipment to the venue. We fed you people, have we? We fed you guys, and I'm glad we did. It was not my idea, trust me. I'm not that nice. Help me honor Lady K and Kufu, everybody. They're the ones that fed you people. It's not me. If it was me, everybody sort yourself. But I've learned from them now how to be in touch with my feminine side. So we did all that. It was a financial stretch. But looking at the testimonies that I've gotten, especially that yesterday afternoon session, looking at all the things that we got, we'll rather spend it again. We will gladly spend it again. Having said that, we paid for our venue for Spiritual Class London. Praise the Lord. It's plenty. It's quite a lot. But will we do it? Yes. So, contribute something for the cause of the gospel. Talk to somebody about Jesus. Talk to somebody. You can be friends with people that work for that purpose. And then when you're friends with them, maybe at work you won't talk about that. Usually at work, when I did that, I'll just say, I say, you don't mind me talking about faith, right? And they say, oh, no, that's fine. The people that usually mind are Africans. Yes. These other guys, they are curious. You know. So if I say, you don't mind, they say, no, I don't mind. So we have conversations. You know, I was talking to one boy at work one time. The guy was telling me, how... He said, here, the Christianity is even different. He said, I attend one Catholic church. He said, he doesn't even like them calling him father. He said, call him his name. He doesn't even wear that thing. He just wears jeans. And I'm like, are you sure? Do you know that there are specific things that make a Catholic church a Catholic church? And if that thing is not there, it's not a Catholic church. So it's the way people say, we just shout a lot and pray in Africa, but here, prayer is coming. Are you aware? Christianity is not climate sensitive. There is a Bible way to do Christianity. It's not cultural. If the word says this, in Moscow, Russia, Germany, anywhere you are, it must be the same. We see the same culture of long Bible study. That's why our sermons are usually long in TEC. Because we cannot challenge a spiritual atmosphere we're trying to blend into. It's not possible. People that may not read their Bible throughout the week, you give them a quick word because of our time. And then we do 1 hour worship or 15 minutes word. Who are we fooling? Come on, are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
So when first timers come, I will say, oh, how was the service for you and everything? And I say, the service was a great service. Is there anything you think we can change? Or second time as the people who ask that, is there anything you think? They say, sorry, if you're a second time, I don't change your mind. Just is there anything? Usually when I have the time to speak to them, is there anything you think we can change? They say, you know, let's just change. If the sermon time can be a bitch, I say, I'm sorry, we can't change that. That's a constant. When we are 10, 100, 1,000, you see that service time. We push on. Because the word is why we're here. That's why we're here. Hallelujah. Anyways, I need to start ministering to God's people. But we're almost out of time. I thought I was going to go through teaching something doctrinal. Let me show you something quick. I'm going to run through some verses of scripture. In the Old Testament, the high priest laid hands on the scapegoat. And when he laid hands on the scapegoat, it was to figuratively give the sin of Israel to the ram. Because it was going to be laid into the... chased into the wilderness. So basically what that means is that with the laying on of hands, there is a communication, or what people usually call it is the laying on of hands is a means of grace. Are you listening to me? It's a communication. It's a means of grace. And that's exactly what we see the high priest do. All right? Leviticus chapter 16 verse 21, we see him do it. And that's basically what Hebrews chapter 6, when it says the elementary doctrine of the laying on of hands, that's what Hebrews 6 was referring to. It was referring to what the high priest did. When we talked about the high priest and the lamb, I covered that, right? That was exactly what the high priest did. Speaking about this, you know, I remember I said, what exactly are you going to contribute to the cause of the king on your day? And we're talking of, we're challenging mindsets. We're challenging all those things. That is exactly why we teach you God's word. Because there are people in your circle that don't know or know horrible things. They learned trash from the pulpit. So you will, in honor and with love, say, this is not what the Bible says. Let's open it and check it. If a sermon blesses, you share. You say, this sermon accurately captures. Okay, YouTube is... Okay, I'll send you the podcast link. Check it out. Hebrews 6, that's what it recognizes, right? In Numbers chapter 8, verse 10, the priests came to... In Numbers chapter 8, verse 10, the priests came to the children of Israel, and then they laid hands on them to put them in an office. Now, whenever God put people in an office, he usually gave grace to communicate that. So we see that in the laying on of hands on the ram, something was communicated. In the laying on of the hands of the children of Israel, something was also communicated to put them into that office, because there was definitely grace. In Numbers chapter 27, verse 18, the Bible says, God speaking to Moses. Moses said, take Joshua, the son of Nun, the man in whom is the spirit, and lay your hands upon him. And the Bible says, Joshua became wise because Moses laid hands upon him. Possibilities in your life can be opened because hands are laid. I can tell you landmarks in my walk with God where hands were laid and something opened up for me. Grace is opened up. Laying on of hands usually can also have a negative connotation, where they laid hands to take Jesus. You know, there's also that. But anyways. Let me say this. Listen. Thank you, Jesus. In the communicating of something in your... In the contribution of your day, you must watch out for people's souls. See, take a personal responsibility for the spread of the gospel in your day. If people don't know better, I will teach them better. If people don't have access to good resources, I will link them to good sermons. If people don't have a good church or need a better one, I will invite them to my own. Come on, are you listening to me? It must be a part. Anyways, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 18, Jesus laid... Matthew 9, 18, Mark 5, 23, Mark 6, 5, Mark 7, 32... Mark 8, 22 to 25, Luke 13, 13. You know, Jesus laid hands to heal. So in the laying on of the hands, he communicated healing virtue. Come on, are you with me? In the laying on of hands, he communicated healing virtue. In Matthew 19, 13 to 15, Mark 10, 16, the Bible tells us that Jesus laid hands to bless the children. And I think about it, what exactly did Esau know about the laying on of hands, that he was ready to defraud his brother and they were ready to fight for the laying on of hands from their father? I assure you, my life, even finances, have shifted because hands were laid and words were spoken. The Bible says he laid hands on him and sustained him with corn and with wine. With corn and with wine, because of the laying on of hands. So it's not a ritual. It's something we see through scriptures. Hands were laid on Paul and his eyesight was restored. In the early church, they laid hands on people for them to be filled with the Holy Ghost. For them to be filled with the Holy Ghost. They laid hands on them to be filled. And that's why I can minister generically, but I'm going to lay hands with as much people as want. Listen, if you don't think I can bless you, please don't come. Okay, and that's fine, no fight. If you don't think I can bless you, don't come. But we see Abraham speak about Melchizedek in Hebrews 7:7. He said, the less is blessed of the better. And when I say the better, it's a consistent practice that usually you judge no man after the flesh. You must discern spiritual graces and then open your heart to receive. Why? Let me just drop this. Why do people fall under the power? Kenneth Hagin puts it this way. He said, when the supernatural collides with the natural, something must give. It's not strange. The Bible says there were different people who had, the Bible tells us there were different people who had encounters with the supernatural and could not stand. He said in Chronicles, he said the kings, the glory of God filled the house, that the priests were on their face. He did not say they did not. So it was not a willful bowing. He says they could not perform their duties. They could not. So when it comes to the giving of the, I wish I had more time to teach about this. But when it comes to the giving of the Spirit, there is the giving and there is the receiving. If God's greatest gift, salvation, was not forced upon you, what else? So there is the giving and then there is the receiving. And then there is the posture of honor. Just open your heart. There's the posture. There's a reason why Paul calls men gifts. Because those men are expressions of the graces of God. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints. There's the equipping by teaching, but then there's such a thing as the laying on of hands that can stir something in your life. I shared a story on Twitter this morning, on X this morning. It was about a guy who really wasn't serious about it. Listen, don't believe that when the power of God comes on you, people fall down. That's all. When the power of God comes on people, things shift for them. Oh, yes. I have seen it. I have seen people go lay hands, they go down with growth. They come up, growth is gone. Go down with burdens, wake up with miracles. It's a real thing. It's a real thing. It's a real thing. I have, oh, Jesus. I shared a story. You know, there was a lady. There was a lady who I saw when I had the meeting in Lagos. She came with a broken wrist. And I said, I saw her wearing an arm brace. I said, what happened? She said she broke her wrist. I said, can I pray for you? She said, yes. I held the hand. I said, in the name of Jesus. So that's laying on of hands too, right? Communication. Kenneth Hagin says it this way. He says, the power of God can be communicated by radiation, the three ways to communicate energy. Radiation, convection, and conduction. Thank you very much. So conduction is the laying on of hands. The stretching of hands to people, radiation. But anyways, let me share something. I remember I held her hand and I prayed for her. And when I held her hand, she was wincing and I thought I was holding it too tight. But I looked again, the power of God was strong on her. And I said, move your arm. How is it? She said, it's healed, no pain. I said, wow, glory to God. She wore her arm brace back. So I thought she was just being nice to me. So she went back to do an x-ray. I said, the doctor said they had to check for ligamental tear. That's the thing. I said, we have doctors in this church. We have how many now? Three. Four doctors. So she went back and she said the result basically showed that there was, everything was fine. No, and the doctor was amazed because they knew that she broke her wrist. I remember I met someone in my meeting. He was Chinwon. I still remember I had the meeting in Abuja. I was ministering God's power and I even forgot. I didn't even know what was happening, but I was told at the end of the meeting that this guy was vomiting blood. And I said, I now saw him 2 days after. I said, bro, what happened? He said, And no, as they were telling me, I saw a vision. I saw the inside of his stomach. Of his stomach. He's not a ruminant animal. I saw the inside of his stomach and I saw sores. And I asked him, do you have ulcers? He said, yes. I said, that's what I saw. I said, can I pray with you? He said, yes. I held his hand. I said, in the name of Jesus. Lord, and the words came out. We don't want just wholeness. We want the healing to be in such a way that there were never any, as if there was never any ulcer in the first place. He had an endoscopy the next day. This was, I prayed for him on Tuesday. This was Wednesday. He had an endoscopy the next day. I said, okay. Held him, prayed, and I left him. And he went to do the endoscopy. Now, he was vomiting blood because the ulcer sores were infected. So they were bleeding because they were infected. And I held him, I prayed. He went. The next day, he had an endoscopy. I was even playing FIFA when his DM came in. Praise God. Yes, because men of God play FIFA. Praise Jesus. I was playing FIFA when this thing came in. And he said, PNI. That was the first thing. He said, he did the endoscopy and the person checked his GIT. Shibi? Thank you. GIT. I'm learning the terms. The person checked it. And then he said the person that ran the endoscopy asked his mom, is this the person you said that they brought in for ulcer? He said, it's not just that he's healed. There is no sign that there were ever any sores. No sign. And of course, to annoy X, I put it on X. And of course, they came. And one said, he said, sores heal naturally on their own. So he just cut like 3 lines of Google. So I went to the same link. And got, because I like problems, always. So I went to the same link and I put another one. I said, bro, ulcers heal naturally of their accord. But they don't heal within the space of 4 days. They heal over months, not within the space of 4 days. On Friday, on Saturday, you were vomiting blood. On Tuesday, on Wednesday, there is no sign that there were ever any sores. That's the power of God. But why did I share that? I held him to pray. In the laying on of hands, the same way, you see, when you get born again, you have the Holy Ghost. But when hands are laid, something that is dormant can be stirred. Something can kickstart. And I'm saying this, every time I remember hands have been laid on me for something, I do that thing with boldness. Because there is grace. He said, Joshua became wise because Moses laid his hands on him. So, in the laying on of hands, grace can be communicated. Come on, are you ready? Rise to your feet.
I trust you were blessed by the teaching of God's word. LCB Hardware Ministries is a mandate that seeks to see men saved, trained, and sent. For more ministry content, visit us at t.me/NelsonBHagwan. And for contact details, follow on Instagram @NelsonBHagwan. God bless you.